Now, we gave you this earlier on, and we said, what's the story with this, Marta Tall? What's the story, musically speaking, with this? And we said, what are you talking about? Have a listen to this, we said. It's the theme for golf on the BBC. Themes are back. Golf on the BBC, that's what it is. Our winner this morning, Mary O'Brien from Thurles in County Tipperary. Loving her tunes, loving yours as well. Thank you, Mary. Mary O'Brien from Thurles in County Tipperary. The theme for the golf on the BBC. There it is now. You're all sorted out and everything done. Excellent. Great. Now, and we'll have more of that tomorrow. And you're getting the 25th anniversary version of Riverdance from Bill Whelan and all the rest of it on the vinyl. Oh, I tell you. I tell you.
You're listening to Marty in the Morning on 96 to 99 RTE Lyric FM.
So you're writing a book. And you go, okay, I'll write a book. So you write a book called December Girl. And it's about a girl born on the winter solstice. So already you're intrigued. You're going, oh, why are you telling me this? Then you've got the nanny at number 43. The nanny at number 30 apparently was fine. The nanny at number 43, different situation. You're not quite sure how that's going to turn out. Nicola Cassidy likes a bit of intrigue, don't you, Nicola Cassidy?
I do.
You do? Like, see the way we did our research and checked up to see what the story would be. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
The pride of Termonfeckin, I believe.
Apparently so. Yeah. They're putting a statue up next week.
Isn't that great? Well, listen, firstly, welcome. I better explain. You have written a book on Adele Astaire, but it's being referred to as a novel. And so firstly, congratulations, because I think it's an intriguing story, okay? But is it a novel, or is it based on, or is it half fact, half fiction? Or what do you call it? What is it?
I call it biofiction. So it's Adele's life, and I would have researched it as if I was writing a biography, but then I've written it in a narrative form, so in a novel form. Right. So it's the way I imagined it, I know it's a literary novel, but if you watch a film of somebody's life, that's always dramatised, but it's based on the facts. So it's her life in a book form, and I've called it biofiction. So now, it's a story of her life.
Is dancing part of your world? What attracted you to her?
Well, her story. So, no, I'm not a dancer. I wouldn't even be any sort of good dancer. I've been to dance lessons and they threw me out, kind of thing. I was worried about writing this book because I wouldn't even be a huge fan of Strictly Come Dancing or anything like that. Right. But I was totally attracted to Adele Astaire's story and her life story because I knew nothing about her, and yet we all know about Fred Astaire. And I found out that she had been more famous than him in her day and had been the leading light in the family. So I wanted to tell her story. And she had been in Ireland. She had a huge connection to Ireland. So I was intrigued by that. Now, I do play in bands and I would be a singer and I would have some kind of musical acumen that way, but dancing, no.
All right. Well, would you be out singing Stepping Out with My Baby? You wouldn't be singing that sort of stuff, would you? The Fred Astaire songs.
No, that was before.
Oh, I know it's before your
time.
It
just doesn't go down now.
Listen, it's before everybody's time, in fairness.
But it wouldn't go, having said that, like in the bands, you're playing lots of older music, you know, just because people like it and it's classic.
You play standards, are you? Like the American standards, the Great American Songbook and all that sort of stuff. Yeah.
Exactly. But this one was almost too Hollywood glamour. This is even before I had to really go back and research these songs because they have fallen from memory, particularly the early 1920s stuff.
Yeah, but the Fred Astaire stuff that we hear, you see, it was taken on by other people too, the Fred Astaire songs, and made popular by a whole bunch of other people like Frank Sinatra and all the rest. But still his stuff is strong. This is, I just want to play Stepping Out with My Baby. I love this.
Stepping out with my baby, I can't go wrong, cause I'm in right. It's for sure, not for maybe, that I'm all dressed up tonight. Stepping out with my honey, can't be bad to feel so good. Never felt quite so sunny, and I keep on knocking wood. They'll be smooth sailing, cause I'm trimming my sails. In my top hat and my white tie and my tails. Stepping out with my baby, I can't go wrong, cause I'm in right. Ask me when will the day be, the big day may be tonight.
Yeah.
my baby. I can't go wrong, cause I'm in right. It's for sure and not for maybe that I'm all dressed up tonight. Stepping out with my honey, can't be bad to feel so good. I never felt quite so sunny, and I keep on a knocking wood. There'll be smooth sailing, cause I'm trimming my sails. In my top hat and my white tie and my tails. Oh, stepping out with my baby, can't go wrong, cause I'm in right. Ask me when will the day be, the big day may be tonight.
Stepping Out With My Baby, which is Fred Astaire. We're talking about Adele Astaire with Nicola Cassidy, who has brought Hollywood glitz and glamour to Termon Feckin, I need to tell everybody. Which is true, Nicola, isn't it? I mean, you have. But let's talk a bit about Adele, because she is intriguing. They were stars together, or at least they began in the early stages dancing together. And then things started to change. Can you give us a little bit of story, a bit of the background as to what happened between the two of them?
Adele was always a star in the family. Fred was never really considered to be, or never thought that he was going to be as big as he was, because he was quite a shy little boy growing up. Adele was very outgoing, and she was the older sister. And she was sent to dance school, and Fred was basically just put in the class with her as something to do. They moved from Omaha to New York to train as kids. Their family invested everything in them. They made the sacrifice for them. And they got onto the vaudeville circuit very early. They trained right up until they were 18 from a very young age. So by the time they were landing, they ended up going on to Broadway in, I think, 1917. Mm. They were already, you know, years of training behind them. They were very professional, and they were fully trained in dance, singing, stage. And they were a partnership. And Adele at that time was always ahead of Fred, and he was always in the background. And they played Broadway for a number of years, and they became hugely successful. When they left Broadway to come to London, I think around 1923, they were just adored. It was called hysteria when they arrived.
Brilliant, yeah.
They loved them. They loved everything American, you see, in the 1920s in London. It was seen as very chic, and they were at the top of their game. Their dancing was way ahead of anybody on the London stage. They were just so professional. So they wowed the audiences. Royalty loved them. All the princes used to come and see them. So they were real celebrities in their day. So Adele did get to the, you know, what would have been the top of celebrity
dancing
in
queen.
That time. And she was loved. And she's very comedic. She was very charming, and even though Fred, as we all know, has massive charisma, she had it too, but she was much more kind of outgoing with it at that time.
Yeah, and yet he's referred to as one of the greatest dancers ever.
Yeah, and if you read the early stuff, it says that she was the more natural dancer, which is very hard to believe when we see how Fred is. But he was a serious perfectionist, where she was more into partying. That's what we understand.
You see, the downfall of many of us. That is no question. But he was amazing. Do you know, this is going to, I hope you find this interesting. I interviewed Ava, his daughter.
Did you?
On the telly years ago. She was over here. We were at, there was an opening of a play or musical, Halfpenny Bridge, I think it was called. But she was in Dublin, because the connection with Ireland is fascinating for Adele. And Ava kept that on, because the Astaire family and their link with Ireland is something else. Adele, eventually, they split. They go their separate ways.
Yeah.
How did that happen?
Well, it didn't happen till 1932, and Adele was well into her 30s at that point, and she just wanted to retire. She was longing for family all that time. She really wanted to settle down and have children, and she finally met her love, Charles Cavendish, at the end of the 1920s, and they decided to get married, and she left the stage then, and she moved to Ireland to Lismore Castle.
But she
that was the start of her.
But you say she moved to Ireland to Lismore Castle. If I got married to somebody, my wife currently, and we might get Delph, or we might get a toaster, as in our case, we got about 15 toasters. I don't know how it works for you, but we got lots of strange things. They were given Lismore Castle in Waterford as a wedding present. Crikey.
She married well.
Didn't she didn't just figure. So, as you say, royalty.
So the Cavendish family are in Chatsworth House, is their seat in the UK, which is massive house. If anyone's ever seen it, it's one of the biggest in estate houses, I think, in the UK. Yeah. And their Irish seat of their homes was in Lismore Castle. Yeah. And the dad gave it to them as a wedding present. So, it was, I mean, to be handed a castle. But Adele was said about doing that whole castle up, because this would have been the 1930s, and it wasn't, say, the castle we know today, if you've ever been in it.
Sure.
She put a lot of her own money in, and she was wealthy herself. They were, Fred and Adele, I was just reading before I come on, in an earlier show, they were earning something like what would be the equivalent of 15,000 euro a week. On one of their shows, and this is in the 1920s.
Yes, yeah.
When you look at, like, you know, coming up with depression and everything, they were wealthy and they were very, very successful before Fred even got to Hollywood.
So therefore, they had the money and she could plough it in. And it's a bit, if you think about it, it's a bit like Downton, if you think about Downton, and the fact that...
Oh, totally,
And I bet that'll be a good link for you to sell your story for a screenplay.
I'm honest. I'm on it, Marty.
I'm not surprised. They call them telly plays now, don't they?
Screenplays
for the big screen, telly plays for the telly. As far as I know, they do. I'm sure that doesn't matter to you. As long as the check comes in.
Stuff.
Of course you do. But I can see that. Listen, I want to take, this is Cheek to Cheek. Fred Astaire. We're coming down with Fred Astaire. This is only for the crack. Here's Fred Astaire.
Heaven, I'm in heaven. And my heart beats so that I can hardly speak. And I seem to find the happiness I seek when we're out together dancing cheek to cheek. Heaven, I'm in heaven. And the cares that hung around me through the seem to vanish like a gambler's lucky streak when we're out together dancing cheek to cheek. Oh, I love to climb a mountain and to reach the highest peak, but it doesn't thrill me half as much as dancing cheek to cheek. Oh, I love to go out fishing in a river or a creek, but I don't enjoy it half as much as dancing cheek to cheek. Dance with me, I want my arm about you, the charm about you will carry me through to heaven. I'm in heaven, and my heart so that I can hardly speak, and I seem to find the happiness I seek when we're out together dancing cheek to cheek.
Cheek to Cheek with Fred Astaire. I'm chatting with Nicola Casti, who has written a book, Adele, a novel, which is based on, well, it says on the front, and I think it's very accurate, the forgotten sister of Fred Astaire, dancer, icon and star, and the fact that she was there in Lismore Castle in Waterford. She eventually, though, he didn't last that long, am I right?
No, it lasted maybe a decade or so, but he was a chronic alcoholic.
Right.
He was actually younger than her when they got married. So, no, they were he died, I think, in 1940. Oh, two or three.
But the marriage didn't last. But it lasted, what, about 10 years he lasted? Is that
yeah. And it, it went downhill, but not because they were always in love. They always.
Oh, yes, I know. Yeah.
Fascinating relationship. But he had always been an alcoholic. It was in the family. And actually, one of the reasons, and I go through this in the book, they met in England, but their romance was really in New York. And his parents had sent him to New York because of Prohibition. They thought if we send him over there, he won't get the booze, and of course he did. So that was his demise, and it was very sad because Adele was the opposite of that. She was very healthy and, you know, very fit kind of woman, so it was very sad. But she, by that point, she actually had gone to London to work in the war effort, I think, to escape, you know, the trouble at home.
Yes, so she had
a very interesting story, and that's why I just wanted to write her story. I just find it so interesting.
Well, that's the thing. It's an amazing story of the American who comes over. She's in show business. She's hugely successful. Her brother goes on to be an incredibly big star and very important in musical cinema. And here she is. She marries somebody with royal lineage. The big castle, like, it's a great story.
Yeah.
And you know, the fact that you take it and you play with it, because you're taking history, you're taking reality. Now, have you been in touch with the family? Have the family been in touch with you? How are the lawyers getting on? I'm only joking.
Well, no, I have actually been in touch, because I'm always, before this I just wrote fiction, so I never had to worry. But this one I was really concerned, because you're writing with somebody that's real, their real life happened, and even though they might be deceased, their family members are still living. And I did reach out, because I tried to track down Ava, because she's, or Ava, because she would be the kind of the most known relative. She's Fred's daughter. Adele didn't have any living children. And I got to her through her grandson, who asked her would she be interested, and she said she wasn't interested in speaking with me, but that they wished me well with the project. So I took that as okay, I think I have a little bit of, I'm okay. And since then I've got in touch with the grandson, Tyler, again, and we're now in contact, and I'm hoping to meet with him in Lismore this year, actually.
Oh, so that's very
things
good.
Things are good. Yeah, because, things are good.
Ava presumably would be in her late 70s, would she, at this stage?
Oh, I think she's older, actually,
is
than
she?
That.
Is she? Okay.
I think she is.
Okay.
I think she is older than that, she's back in America now.
She is, of course. And I suppose in that situation, it's not like you're doing an exposé of something. You're actually telling a story is what you're doing.
Yeah. It's exactly, but you're always conscious when you're writing about people's real lives, you know.
Well,
it's,
you've got to be
all okay.
You've got to be. So, who's going to play Ava in the mind of Nicola Cassidy's screenplay? Who have you got? Who've got Reese Witherspoon? I suppose she's in everything.
Why not?
Why not? Or Emily Blunt, maybe? No?
Yeah, she's very... She was Mary Poppins, I think, was she?
She was. She was brilliant at Mary Poppins.
That'll do.
That'll do. But is that really at the back of your mind, do you think?
No, well, actually, there is a movie in production, Nothing to Do with Me, because the Astaires biography was written a number of years ago and the film rights were sold of that. But again, I was in touch with the producer of that because I was following up, you know, any kind of avenue.
Yes,
and
of course.
As far as I know, that's in production or in development. So, but I still think there's room for more. I think there's, I'm studying screenplays and screenwriting, so I'm hoping to be able to do something in the future.
So this could be a new direction.
We'll see. Yeah, I would love to get into it. I'd love to do a TV series of kind of Hollywood celebrities.
But there was one on I saw a biography, one of these things on Fred recently, and it was really clever and really well done. But it wasn't it wasn't like a dramatization like they did on, was it Bette Davis and a few of these recently. So you get these programs, and again, you've got the book, you've got the story, it's all written out there, and all they have to do is
study this,
and send money to Terman Fecken.
But so, people are interested in these stories, in historical. That's, I'm all about my historical stuff, and people love it. You know,
I think so too.
A lot of the stories are forgotten.
Yes, very true. But you say historical stuff. I'm at the other two books you've written. Again, what brings that into your mind? Why so interested in the I could see 1800s in one of them and the other
I'm
one.
I'm just fascinated by it and always have been. Even when I was a kid, I remember like the teacher asked us if you had one wish, what would it be? This was in first year, and I said I want to go back to the 1800s, and everyone just burst out laughing. But I was like, what's wrong with that? I was fascinated by the late 19th
century. Well, it makes you different, it makes you unique, and hey, yeah. And the more different sometimes one is, the more opportunities might come your way. So I think it's terrific. Listen, it's been a joy talking to you today. Have you been locked in? Have you been yeah. playing it?
But that's okay for a writer. That's just happy
days.
Yeah,
that's true. Yeah. But and that's how you live your life anyway.
I work and I've small children and all that. But once I got overseas, we were due to launch Adele on the Saturday and we locked down on the Thursday, so everything got cancelled very last minute for me. Right. So it was very kind of tough for the first few weeks. But once I got over that, now I've been doing great. Obviously, while this crisis is going on, but I've just been working on other projects and it's keeping me going.
And when, but if people want the book, they can buy it online. I take it.
The
shops aren't open.
The stock is in shops, so hopefully when they all open, it'll be available again.
Sure.
But it's across all the websites. It's on Eason's and Amazon, and local shops have it if you just ask them, because it's published by Poole Baker, Irish publisher, so it's very easy to get.
Absolutely. But there's they can't buy it directly from you, no. But you get it from Poole
Baker. No, not from me, but there's you can get it from Poole Baker direct, yeah, and any place that sells books online, you will get it.
Right. Is it true that you worked in political PR? Is that true?
It is, yeah.
Is it true?
I worked for the Green Party.
Oh, did you? Good for you.
For a number of years, yeah.
Well, there's an interesting future coming up. We have to wait and see what the next move is there.
Yeah, I would have worked here the last time when we were in government the last time. So.
All right. So what would you, what advice would you give to Dominic Cummings this morning?
Leave now.
Oh, no, that's the problem. He did leave. That's exactly why there's an issue. Anyway, listen, keep the faith. Yeah. Nicola, it's been a joy talking to you. The book is Adele, a novel, and really quite a different thing for people to perhaps take while they're still in the lockdown situation, if people are, a nice book to take yourself away and let your imagination run riot. I think it's a great idea. So, Nicola, thank you for joining us today, and well done.
Thanks a million. Thank you.
Not at all. We'll leave you with the top hat. Top hat and tails. Fred Astaire. What else would you do? Until tomorrow.
I just got an invitation through the mails. Your presence requested this evening. It's formal. Top hat, white tie and tails. Nothing now could take the wind out of my sails. Because I'm invited to step out this evening with top hat, white tie and tails. Oh, I'm putting on my top hat, tying up my white tie, brushing off my tails. I'm dudeing up my shirt front, putting in the shirt studs, polishing my nails. I'm stepping out, my dear, to breathe an atmosphere that simply reeks with class. And I trust that you'll excuse my dust when I step on the gas. For I'll be there, putting down my top hat, mussing up a white tie, dancing in my tails. up my shirt front, putting in the shirt studs, polishing my nails.
You've been listening.